Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey everyone, Mate here. Thanks so much for watching and listening to the podcast this week. I just want to let you know that we have got our own Patreon and we're doing something very, very cool with the guys who sign up over there. We're going to be doing our very first live Q&A hangout. If you go over to patreon.com/MateXPager and sign up there at any tier, you are invited into that. It's going to be Monday evening, about six-ish after we've finished doing the Football Manager stream. We're just going to get in there, shoot the breeze, answer some questions with you guys, hang out, have a bit of a chat, but it is exclusively only for the people who are our patrons on patreon.com/MateXPager. There's a couple of extra bits and pieces of benefits, which you can see when you go to the website and check it out, but that is the big thing we're doing, a monthly Q&A. It should be very, very cool, so if you want to come and join us, then head over there and sign up, and we'll see you on Monday. Hello everyone, welcome to the Mate and Pajak podcast. We're back once again. This week we're going to be talking about
Black Rock and Beat.
We're going to be talking about Dominic Cummins and his mad eyesight drive, which is just him going out for a day and having a laugh and then blagging his way to do it. Obviously, it's a fluid situation. It might have changed and more will happen, but undoubtedly probably not from time to record and to release. So we're also going to talk about Manchester United looking to sue Football Manager for breaching their intellectual property. Yeah, weirdos. We're going to talk about the fact that the Justice League Snyder Cut is coming out. If you've never heard of this, we'll explain it. It's mad and weird and yeah, it's probably going to be crap, but we'll talk about that.
We're going to look forward to we explaining that one, Paul.
Yeah, I know. We're going to do your not a real grown-up, a proper grown-up until ... We had good fun with them last week. I put a tweet out this week on at Matex page. We got a few of them from you guys, so we're going to read through some of them as well. And I'm sure we'll have a few twists and turns. We'll purge. We'll probably purge at some point as well. Purge. How's your week going so far?
Dragging, you know. It is frigging dragging, mate. I thought I was on for a good week this week.
Yeah.
Because obviously it was a bank holiday Monday, so Kat was off an extra day.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think yesterday and today have kind of felt like a full week just on their own. I think the sun's not helped me this time, whereas every other time the sun's been like, oh, it's a godsend and stuff. Yeah. But it's been too hot today, certainly, and I sat outside for like 30 minutes, and this was about, like, we're recording now, it's just gone 4 o'clock, it was about 2 o'clock I sat outside, yeah. And I've not recovered yet. I feel like it's just sucked the life out of me, and I'm just like this hot, sweaty mess, you know what I mean?
There's probably something in, though. We talked last week about that thing where you have a bit of time on your own, and it's like eating a bag of crisps when you're hungry, it just makes you more hungry. There's probably a degree to which having Kat bail you out a bit more yesterday is like, oh, yeah, okay, cool, and that should make you more prepared. But what it's done is it's just highlighted how hard it is when she's not there,
yeah,
to help you out.
Yeah, so other than that, like, I've had a, you know, if you take away the probably 15 hours each day of horrendousness, I'd say I've had a good 1 and 1.5 hours of good stuff each day.
Oh, yeah, flying. Well, that's
probably 150% increase on last week's daily totals.
Well, flying, absolutely flying then, yeah. That's
every cloud, Paul. Yeah. Every cloud, mate.
Even no matter how shitty the cloud is, it can still have a silver lining. Now, the question is, you wouldn't choose to have even if it is silver-coated, it's still shit-coated in silver, but then it is still silver. You decide which you prefer, which is livable with. Should we talk about the... I want to talk about the Man United Footy Manager stuff because this came out. It's been a few days since this came out, but obviously it kind of it's been a bit more on our radar than normal because obviously we're playing Footy Manager a lot more at the moment. And I love the idea, Chris. This is how out of touch Manchester United are with the world. That somebody, they're probably sat in a board, or they're having like a socially distanced, like, you know, board meeting or whatever, and someone's gone, have you seen this Football Manager thing? Did anyone license us to this? And everyone's gone, get that check, write that down. Check. And then someone's like, no, we didn't license Manchester. And someone's going, well, hang on. Well, that's not, we don't allow that, do we? No. Well, go and sort that out. Get the lawyers on the phone. Get the lawyers on. Add the lawyers into this call. And they've decided to sue Footy Manager. I mean, Chris, like, I get it. They're not wrong. I mean, the phrasing is, I think I've got it here. They're suing it for allegedly infringing its trademark by using the club's name extensively throughout the game. It argues they've infringed its trademark over its logo by not using the official Manchester United crest, instead replacing the club crest with a simplified red and white striped logo. It deprives the registered proprietor of its right to have the club crest licensed. I mean,
so what are they moaning about here, Paul? Because this is the big thing for me. Are they moaning that they didn't get the full licensing?
Basically, by the sounds of that, is they're saying you could have put the Man United crest in, but you'd had to pay us money to use the crest effectively. And they're saying you've robbed us of that platform to sell that crest to you, I guess.
My big issue with this, I suppose, is more along the lines of kind of what you were alluding to at the beginning, Paul. It's like, you've been fine with it for the last 20 years. Now, all of a sudden, your revenues have taken a massive hit, 140, 150 million reduction in revenues. And you think, let's go and take on that giant Sports Interactive who will recoup the money. Come on, lads. You know what's happening. You've known what's happening. I'm pretty sure at some point you've been licensed by them.
Probably.
And I mean, the season after was probably the time to do this, not a few seasons after.
Yeah.
Well, it's just them clutching at straws. It makes them look fucking needy.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. And it makes them look pathetic. Yeah. Because in the eyes of gamers, that is pretty pathetic. I mean, you know, Liverpool furlough and staff was bad. And you know, I'm not saying it's as bad, but like you're looking pretty poor, you know what I mean?
You look like a bad gang of dickheads, Manchester United. And again, like, letter of the law and the IP and all those kind of stuff, they're probably not wrong. I mean, look at Juventus. So Juventus are exclusively licensed to Konami for Pro Evo, which means they're called Zebre in Footy Manager. We've seen plenty of examples, like Schalke have been Gelsenkirchen for years and that kind of stuff. There's always been funny examples like this throughout footy, but like, Manchester United, this is the point, and this is what they actually said. Sagan and Sports Interactive said, the use of the club's name is a legitimate reference to Manchester United football team in a football context, and it's been used in Football Manager and its predecessor, Championship Manager, since 1992. They've literally had, Chris, 28 years of this being a thing. And it's, you're right, it just feels like they've been so far out of touch with the entire world outside of Manchester United that, like, I honestly wouldn't shock me if they'd never heard of it. And they're like, shocker.
Do you know what the funny thing for me is? I get the impression that somebody's played it, right, and realised that Manchester United are a bang average football side on it, and that's what they're asked about. It's like a player who gets fucking 80 on FIFA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're like, wow, are you kidding me? Like, they've played through it and they've gone, bloody hell, we're pretty crap. We can't have them thinking that. And the fact is, you've been really good on Championship Manager, I'm sure, for years, because you were really good since the start of the Premier League. You've fallen off a cliff. And as such, your squad's a bag of balls. You're losing money every week. The Glazers have taken up £1.5 billion out since they bought you. And your stadium started to fall down. Now, you're unhappy that this is all happening virtually as well as in real life, and that's the issue that you've got.
Do you know what this is funny, though? Because this is another example of Manchester United getting things massively, massively wrong. And look, there's potentially dangerous knock-ons for the sport game industry and what have you if they manage to get a ruling on this, because they're arguing about, like, you know, promoting the data packs and stuff like that is like they've got cottoned on to Footy Manager getting around the licensing thing, and like, it's Pro Evo are in deep shit. But what Manchester United need to recognise is that, and I nearly did the D'Lo Brown head wobble with that, is that they're about to enter the footballing wilderness over the next couple of years. As much as they think they're not, as much as they think they've got this bold new era on the horizon, they haven't. They're going to be in the wilderness for a few years at least. What they're about to stop being is that top echelon club, right? That you go, like the glory hunters go for. So like the reason I go, not a fan of Real Madrid, but the reason why I go Real Madrid on football games, and there's a reason I go, you go Barcelona, there's a reason you go Bayern Munich, and there's a reason you go Manchester United, because they're normally the biggest thing going and they've got, you know, the best players and all that kind of stuff. What they're about to enter into, so they've never needed Football Manager is what I'm driving at, because they've got their own massive thing. What they need in the coming years is, you know, all the people who support random football teams, and they've got them for random reasons. So like, if I said Castel Di Sangro to you, you'd get a laugh, because you've got a soft spot for Castel Di Sangro because of Champ Manager. And I could go through half a dozen teams, and yeah, Juventus are probably one of them in some ways, but there's some really obscure teams that we have a really soft spot for. Cadiz FC, I've got one for that because of a Master League game. And what Man United do, and if they take away their license, if they manage to get the name took away and all that kind of stuff from Footy Manager, they're losing out on potential fans and all this like thing with it, because they're going to become, when they're not top tier, they're going to become a bit of a hipster's choice. Liverpool have been that for a long time. You gain a lot of fans because you're not the tippy top team. So if you come to something new, you don't want to support maybe the best team because it's seen as being glory hunting. But you'll go for a team with a good history, a good story behind them. We've got a few good players and play, you know, a style of footy or whatever. So like Man United could, and they've been making these mistakes. It's like giving David De Gea a massive contract. Fucking stupid mistake. He's had his day. He's not as good a goalkeeper as you can get anymore. And if they manage to get themselves taken out of Footy Manager, it's just another example of brilliant short-sighted mismanagement of the football club. And I apologise to Man United fans, but also I don't, because you should know why, that I don't like Man United, and I'm fine to be rolling around like a pig in shit at your misfortunes, is what I'd say.
I think the thing is that you're right, there's a certain appeal with going a club. I mean, I started a Footy Manager save the other day, didn't I? Mm-hmm. And I was tossing up between starting unemployed or getting a big club back to where it belongs. And so for me, the toss-up was probably AC Milan and starting unemployed.
Yep.
Because, and that's what Manchester United are now. Mm-hmm. If you don't love a team in England, Man United will be that. There'll be fans of Serie A, the Bundesliga, Spain, who play the English leagues.
Yep.
And they'd all go Manchester United to get that power back. And maybe that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what they don't want. Or we ultimately know that you've lost a fucking prick ton of money, guys, and you're trying to recoup it in a really, really stupid way. Mm. What you could have done is sell the official latte partner in Canada to a Canadian coffee co. I'm sure they're up for a deal if they exist.
Maybe this is just it. Maybe that's it. They've just gone through the list. Maybe they've finally done it all. They've got a spreadsheet of every product on the face of planet Earth that they've licensed them all, and they've gone, what more blood is there to come from this stone? And someone's gone, I've heard about this game. My son is doing my head in lockdown here, and all he's doing is sitting all day playing this Football Manager thing. And they've gone, whoa, let's get a bit of that. But yeah, that'd be interesting.
Poor form, I think Captain Hook would say.
Poor form. Poor form, Jack. Yeah, absolutely, completely agree. Leslie, thoughts on that in the comments if you're watching on YouTube. Please do make sure you drop a like on the video if you're on YouTube. If you're listening on podcasting apps, then leave us a 5-star review as well. In fact, we got a 5-star review the other day. I need to see if I can find it. It came. Yeah, I will track it down and read it to us. Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't me that did it. So I don't really want to take too much of the kudos on this, but someone actually did. Here we go. New reviews. Very funny. 5-star. None of the Anfield rap crew are funny, are they? Absolutely, absolutely pocketing one of Redmen TV's, fellow space Liverpool pod, whatever. Thanks very much for the 5-star review. If you want to leave something daft in the comments, I'm more likely to find it and read it. So yeah, do leave your 5-star reviews. It does help with all of that stuff. Everyone, mate, just a quick word from our sponsors today, who are threadsforreds.com, the finest Liverpool clubber on the face of planet Earth today, not just in terms of design work, but also in terms of the quality of the garments that they have as well. So much of the stuff that you see online, on Twitter, everyone seems to be doing Liverpool t-shirts and football-related t-shirts and stuff, but so many of them are just that really cheap and cheerful kind of stuff. We call it disposable clothing, the kind of stuff that you'd pick up in Primark and chuck away after a few washes. The stuff that they're using is the best of the best, truly premium. And moreover, I need to highlight, because we now know Liverpool are going to be winning the league title, whether it's points per game or games behind closed doors, that the "And Now You're Gonna Believe Us" t-shirt is once again available. Get ready for a rather more subdued than we would expect, but nevertheless, big party, if only in our minds and houses, for Liverpool lifting number 19 with your "And Now You're Gonna Believe Us" t-shirt, which we can now wear with pride, fee and free from fear that it's going to be stolen away from us by the Null and Void crew. Yeah, head to threadsforreds.com, pick up your t-shirt, get yourself kitted out for the summer. And yeah, thanks very much to them for sponsoring the podcast. In the other bits and pieces of news, as I say, it might be me slightly more explaining this, but a lot of people will be aware of this if you follow comic books and movies and superhero movies in particular, that Zack Snyder is the guy who directed Watchmen, he's the guy who directed Man of Steel, he's the guy who directed Batman vs Superman. He was charged with creating DC Comics, who, for the layperson, I don't know, DC Comics, Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, etc., etc. He was charged with creating this universe, and it fell flat because they're just not very good, the films, but loads of people liked them. He left making the Justice League film, which was meant to be the biggest thing since sliced bread. It wasn't very good. Joss Whedon of Buffy fame took over. The film's, it's all right. But anyway, the fans have been frothing at the mouth for years over this hashtag release the Snyder Cut, and HBO Max have decided they're going to allow him to make it and release it. And Chris, just from you're obviously not up on it all, but in terms of a genius move in a pandemic situation, because television companies and streaming services are shitting themselves at the moment, absolutely shitting themselves, because content can't be getting made. So we're going to reach a point in the next 6 months where there's no new content being made, and all of a sudden you've got to convince people to sign up for your streaming services when there's, you know, nothing new and enticing for it. And what HBO have done there, effectively, whether it's rubbish or not, and look, it might be fine, it's probably going to be rubbish. I'll probably think it's rubbish because I didn't like what he did with the other stuff anyway. But as far as a genius move goes, it's the first time we've ever seen something like this happen. Like, fan power has made this a thing, and then someone somewhere, again, in a boardroom somewhere, has gone, "What can we do?" And someone's like, "Have you seen this? We could just throw a bit of money, get him to finish making this." And the talk, it could either be like a short series, or it could be like a 4-hour supercut. And all of a sudden, HBO have got this rabid online community of people who are all just going to absolutely dive bomb onto that service the second that it's on there. It's like weirdly Machiavellian genius.
But okay, so I don't know enough about it, but like, the film wouldn't have run for 4 hours, so how's it the same film?
It's not.
So what? So have the fans really got what they wanted?
So basically, exactly, this is the point, is that they've mythologized this notion of a Snyder, because the point, he reckons he's got like a 4-hour movie shot. Joss Whedon went in and shot a load of extra stuff, and so there's, like, example, there's meant to be a bit with Superman in a black suit when he comes back from death, which isn't in the film at all. There's loads of stuff in trailers.
We're not talking like button up fucking,
oh yeah, yeah. No,
we're
exactly
a black,
yeah,
Superman suit, a blackout,
yeah,
one,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Top out,
not
top,
like,
no,
a
top,
court suit,
no, top out and tails, Chris.
Okay. Well,
no, obviously, the blackout suit, which is like iconic in comics and Superman lore and all that kind of stuff. But apparently, there's tons of stuff. But you're right; they're not going to get that film because you can't make that film. They can't bring the actors back in to act for it, but they're going to bring them back in for voice acting bits. They can do some special effects to add it all, but it's mad because it's not going to be that. But of course, no one knows what it was going to be. It's going to be interesting to see.
It's a genius move. I think you're right there. It's also a massively egotistical move by Schneider, by the sounds of things. Is that the type of person that he is?
I don't know. I mean, look, maybe to some extent.
Who owns HBO? Because Warner Brothers were doing the film, weren't they?
Yeah, so I would guess there's probably something tied up in there, I guess the
Warner Brothers would have to live them release the footage, or they probably own HBO or something.
Now it's
so
owned
how
by...
do they win? How do Warner Brothers win in this situation?
I don't know whether they've got they still retain rights to it or whatever. I don't actually know the full ownership situation on that side of things. Whether they fall under the same umbrella company, I would guess that would be it.
Because there's what I'm thinking straight away. I'm like, well, you're gonna look stupid, whether the film's good or bad.
Yeah.
Because you've made a terrible decision to get rid of a director who's going to deliver you a better film.
So his daughter committed suicide during the filming, so he walked away from production at the time.
So they could have waited, though.
He decided to step away, and they brought in Joss Whedon. And there'd been rumours that like they weren't particularly happy with the tone and all that kind of stuff anyway. But yeah, this is what I mean. It's kind of like he's created this online buzz by leaking images and talking about it. Went from being fans saying release the Snyder Cut. Well, do you remember? I mean, it happened to the last two Star Wars films. There was loads of people saying, "Oh, people wanted to remake the middle of the new trilogy." The guy started like a crowdfunding thing to get it reshot. Fans are lunatics, absolute lunatics. But normally that's where it ends. Normally it's like, okay, well, great, you've raised $3 billion, but you. Lucasfilm aren't going to give you the rights to the characters to make the film, so that's a great hashtags. I mean, look, you see it in football. Hashtags is normally people think they're really empowering, but they're normally not. But this is like I say, this is mad. This is genuinely unprecedented that they've followed it on, and Zack Snyder's ridden the crest of this wave, and it's going to be awful. I'm certain of it. But yeah, what a mad.
It is nuts. Like it's absolutely genius. It also makes me realise when you were teeing this up, why The Mandalorian was split out over 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone's going to take that model. Otherwise, they will run out of content. They're not going to run out of content. I don't worry about that in any way, shape, or form. Netflix stopped releasing 20 things a week, and they released 10. You know what I mean? And they released them on a weekly basis rather than just letting everyone binge it in a weekend and go, right, what's next thing? Come on, I need more television. So they just do that. They just release one episode at a time and everyone can chill and get through this. I mean, the production companies are coming back into work over the next couple of months and stuff anyway, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that. We've seen like Coronation Street and stuff like that are coming back and all that type of stuff. I'm not worried about that, but I do think it's a genius move for them. A, riding the crest of the wave of the buzz. B, getting people into it. It's not going to be a film, is my guess, if this line of thinking comes across.
Yeah.
Because a four-part series keeps them around for 4 weeks.
Yeah, well, what you need to do is cross over that month threshold, ideally, because that's what Disney Plus did with The Mandalorian. Because there's no reason for Disney to release that staggered in the UK, because it was out, the series was finished. If you'd streamed it, you know, via illicit methods or whatever, you'd have seen it all. It was all out there in the world. I'd seen all the major plot points via internet sites and all that kind of stuff. But the reason they drip fed it out of the UK is because you needed to keep that
get past free trial. You need 60 days to stay through Disney Plus. Like.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, it wouldn't shock me if they did that in any way, shape, or form. Like, but yeah, it is. It's an interesting model that's the world we're in now. I mean, I don't think there's too many examples of this, and I don't know whether we'll see other examples quite like it, but particularly it is telling that you've seen this happen in the media, particularly in the last 20 years. It happens most prevalently, I think, in the music industry. The days of, like, for example, you go out and you're a boss band and you make boss music, and a record label's just got money coming out of its ears and they just go, great, we'll sign you up because you're great at music and you'll make a great music album. Doesn't happen anymore. You've got to go out there and build yourself an audience. You've got to go out there and gig, get a fan base, and prove that there's people who will buy your stuff before people will give you money to take the next step. So it potentially opens a door to a load of things happening, because that kind of stuff exists on the internet already. You know, like you can build up a following, you can do X, Y, and Z, and you can maybe crowdfund your own stuff. But it's the first example almost of a major production company going, well, we've got a built-in audience for this. Let's make that, because you know, okay, you're not going to know the numbers exactly, but you can guarantee you're going to get an uplift because there's a proven rabid audience already.
Couple that already with the fact that, like, it's shot, and that makes it easy during coronavirus.
Yeah,
to just let a few editors work remotely. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's the big part of it as well, isn't it? Those two things equals dollar signs for HBO Max, which is a terrible name.
Terrible name. Yeah. But it's fascinating. Apparently he said that of the movie that was released, only 25% of it is what he was going to be in his film, effectively. Fascinated by it. I'm a massive DC Comics geek, and they've horrendously handled those characters on film for a long time, so it'd be interesting to see where
he was part of that as well, was he? Part of horrendously, you know, handling those characters.
Yeah, well, look, I say horrendously from my perspective, and this is the problem with fandom, by the way, because we see it in football all the time, and I often like daydream about what it would be like if I just was what I am in a different genre on YouTube, and for, you know, the grass is always greener, but you see it like people sending death threats over this. Like, you know, anyone involved with, like, Warner Brothers or involved with anyone behind the scenes of it have been getting, like, just dogs abuse for years on social media over it. And fans, you know, you see it with Star Wars, I think there's people are as entrenched in things. Why you've got console wars, you've got all these things. People love something so much that it makes them, like, insane over it and stuff. Like, it's absolutely fucking balmy. There's people who will go to die over their movies. They're fine. You know, they're fine. I went into the Marvel movies as a DC fan predominantly. I mean, Dad once said raising the son to like DC Comics is like raising the son to support Everton, which was a heartbreaker for me back in the day. I liked Superman and Batman more than I liked, well, who the fuck, no one read Iron Man, no one liked Iron Man. It was a nothing character until until they made the cinematic universe and Robert Downey Jr. came along. So I went into, when they started making new Superman films and they started making, you know, bringing Batman and doing all that stuff, yeah, amazing, let's get on board with this. And they're just ridiculously meh. And even the most meh of Marvel stuff has at least got a bit of personality to it. So you never know.
It is a bit mad though, like, yeah, just on the whole, because, like, I can understand it in sport.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't, get me wrong, I'm a massive Star Wars fan. But if anyone wanted to have an argument with me over Star Trek and Star Wars, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because it's my imaginary fucking TV shows better than your imaginary TV show. Mm-hmm. Like, it just comes across really strange to me.
But you were absolutely furious and, well, or upset when they basically said all of the Star Wars books basically didn't exist anymore.
And do you know why?
Go for it.
Because I put hours of my life into it.
Yeah.
Not because I don't think they've done a good job now or they can't replicate that, but it just seems like a giant waste of time when they probably didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's different in my eyes. It's
different.
That's just like going, you know what, lad, you've spent about 200 hours of your life and us as the stewards have decided we can't be asked.
Yeah.
With that and everything that you've put into that. And I know there was obviously a takeover and all that stuff and they wanted to move away Disney, didn't they? But that's just stupid, like, in my eyes, because you've just fucked off a load of fans who've invested a load of time. Whereas if you're arguing between a made-up man who wears a cape or a made-up man who wears a suit, I think that's silly.
But this is what we're having. But yeah, absolutely.
And it's the same with console wars, but at least they're real.
But this is the thing, though, isn't it? But
they're real things.
You can hear it, though.
Football players are real, and you can argue about them because they're real.
Yeah.
DC versus Marvel's just my imaginary friend's better than yours.
But this is the point. It's not actually that. It's the divisions in amongst it all of a sudden. So, which is where it's getting fascinating, because you've got people who love those characters, and it's now the portrayals that people get angry about. Like, look at Star Wars. Like, there's people. I really dislike that middle Star Wars film, whatever, I can't even remember what it's called. The Last Jedi, is it? I mean, it's okay. I'm rewatching, it's fine. And I enjoyed the most recent one. But there's people who are on the complete reverse, and I find that mad that people feel that way.
That's down to how you've interpreted that character.
Well, it's fandom, isn't it? It's fandom.
But that's fine intra series or intra-universe, I think that's totally acceptable. You know, you read a book and you watch a film, let's say, or you read a comic and you watch a film for more how you would do it, then you've got your internal perception of how that character is, and I get that. Oh, you've got that wrong because this, and this happened. Now, you've got to remember, I suppose, as well, they're not out to repeat the book. It's not a straight swap. It's not a straight swap of the comic. But when they get, like, the essence of the character wrong, or they portray it in a way that wasn't meant by the original author, I think that's totally acceptable to argue about and get entrenched about, because that's what, like, that's how it's supposed to make you feel. It's those intra things that I get, like, wound up about, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because that's it, isn't it? But everyone, we feel, but you're right, whether they're imaginary or not, we feel a sense of good characters and well-written characters and well-written media. And this is why it is similar to sports in some regards, regardless of whether it's real or not, is that you put your time into it and you lose yourself in that world. It's like when you finish a series, doesn't matter whether I just finished The Last Dance and I feel like I've lost a little bit of my life because I was really into that world. I could read a trilogy of books, a fictional book set in a fantasy setting, and feel exactly the same way because I've inhabited that world for that time. And that's where this, like, again, rabid fandom kind of comes from all of a sudden, because you've got people in these who are so, again, so deeply entrenched in their opinions of these characters that they actually... They take it really super personally when things when they are poorly portrayed or where they're taken away from them and all that. But in addition, you've now got a third layer, which actually I don't think exists in football so much. Maybe it does, but not as obviously, of people who there's a hate culture around these things. And there's a hate culture in Star Wars where you've got to say that Star Wars, you've got to say that all Star Wars or new Star Wars is shit, because that's become a thing all of a sudden. Like,
yeah, the problem with that is that people are too entrenched, and that's where that comes from, isn't it? Yeah. Well, you know that. It's that. I think kind of actually it's quite similar to the Bundesliga stuff. In fact, it might actually be prevalent in that as well. You know, I was sat here last week saying I just didn't enjoy it. Now, if I had a really strong opinion of Star Wars, which you know I do, and I had a disliking of most of the new films, which you know I did, and you're exactly the same in this, we both walked out of that final film buzzing because it was Bosch. Because you know what? Some people can let it go at the door and just enjoy themselves and not be entrenched or dragged down by everything else.
Yeah.
Some people can't. That's the difference. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what it is like, right? It's like not being able to enjoy a game of football that your rival wins.
Yeah.
For what it is.
Yeah.
Rather than what it meant. So it could be a great game of football. 1999 Manchester United treble, Champions League final, great game of football because of the climax of it. Not enjoyable because you're a Liverpool fan.
I'm sure that they'd say about that in reverse. But it's funny,
Istanbul would be like, oh, unbelievable game of football. No, worst game of football ever.
Yeah, 100%, absolutely. But in saying it, you talking, it actually reminds me. This does exist in football, because Arsenal Fan TV exists, and I don't mean to say, I'm not going to look into bash Robbie or that, but that, like, spouting aggressive negativity. Actually, of course, it does exist in football, and it becomes a self perpetuating fire. So what you had is, in Star Wars, you had Red Letter Media did the reviews of the original trilogy, the new trilogy, as it were, the Phantom Menace, etc., etc., and that created like a subgenre of YouTube where people just go on there to tell you everything that's wrong with Star Wars and why everything else other than the original trilogies is god awful, and that's become a pop up. Sort of in industry in and of itself. That happens with DC stuff, because again, people have got the passion for these characters and they always think they know best. And that's what, and then when you say those words, just translate that into football, because again, you've got people now who just literally exist to hate the things that exist, and there's not enough people, as you say, who can just take it at face value. You can go and enjoy things for what they are. And I'm not saying I can do that, by the way, because again, I didn't like the middle Star Wars film. I didn't mind the new trilogy at the time, because it was just, I could just go and be thrilled by the cinema. But in hindsight, I recognise that they're not very good. So I'm not clean in this, by the way. I'm just as bad in some regards as other people. Yeah.
Nobody is. Like, it's also the time in your life that these things crop along.
Yeah.
You know, as a as a 17-year-old lad, no, 16-year-old lad, when July 15th, wasn't it, or something like that, 1999, when The Phantom Menace came out. It was something like that, wasn't it?
Might have been early, but yeah.
We had not seen a Star Wars film live in the cinema.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's a big deal to a 16-year-old lad who's grown up watching Star Wars films. Yeah. As a fella who, let's say, maybe went and saw the three ones in the thing and is looking to replicate that feeling, well, let's talk about that, just compartmentalise it. Can you, 20 years after, when you were a 17-year-old and that craze took over the world?
Yeah.
No, you can't. But as an angry 37-year-old man with two kids who doesn't get enough time for themselves, imagine turning up and going to watch The Phantom Menace thinking it was going to be Star Wars.
Yeah.
You would rage on it.
Yeah,
you would absolutely rage on it. And we can't unplug ourselves from our lives, and as much as we want to, go back to when we were 16, 17 and enjoy something that we did again.
Yeah.
Have you tried playing a computer game sometimes that you loved, and you've gone back and gone, well, that was shit.
Yeah.
How
absolutely.
Did I? And there are games that you can go back and play,
of course, yeah.
But it's very hard to replicate those feelings.
Yeah, exactly. You're constantly searching for that feeling as you get older. But again, what the internet has allowed it is this like these hate cultures to go. You'd have no one to talk to about this. It wouldn't bother you. You just get on with it. But all of a sudden now, you know, you can find fellow people who hate it something as much as you, and then you can stir yourself up and you can get so riled up about it that you can't even have a conversation about it anymore. I mean, take it back to football. There's people out there who loathe Rafael Benitez. Like Liverpool fans who would count themselves as diehard Reds, who, you know, who love the bones of the club, you know, more than as much as you can possibly love it, who hate Rafa, hate. And I've heard them say, I've had arguments with these people, and you can't, because you get so, you become cocooned, encased in your opinion, and you can't, you're intractable on it, you'll never move on it. And it's mad, you know, again, this exists all around media. There's people I know who wouldn't watch the new Star Wars films because they'd convinced themselves that because Disney had that, it was the worst thing ever. I don't know what I was talking about.
They weren't wrong, were they, though?
No, they're fine.
they might have saved themselves a lot of pain,
yeah,
and certainly a lot of time and a lot of popcorn.
Yeah, well, it's true. But
I'm not saying that's a good thing.
Well, I don't know if I said this on the Red Men podcast, but it's mad how what happens is like things like banter and throwaway jokes and just light-hearted opinion, albeit even negative opinion, over the years crystallizes if it keeps up long enough, and it becomes, to a new generation of people, it becomes fact. So all of a sudden, like you and then if you only exist around people who say those things, it's like, I don't want to slag Evertonians too much as such, but there's a generation of Evertonians who were raised on we hate Liverpool, and then that just became more and more deeply entrenched. Then you get another generation of lads who are actually raised by people who were raised by people who used to say that, and it's too far removed from someone to go, oh, no, we're only messing. It's just football, isn't it? You become indoctrinated so that you have this absolutely fixed point of view on something that you can't move, and you've never and you don't understand that you've actually got it. I find all that stuff.
I think when you take that and you look at why, because I think, you know, you mentioned Arsenal Fan TV at the top of this. They've always existed. Reddit forums and forums of football clubs existed well before Arsenal Fan TV and phone-ins and fucking everything else. Exactly. And the one constant here is the ability to communicate with people.
Yeah.
So they've always existed in every walk of life.
Yeah.
And just. The difference now is our communication has become easier and more global.
Yeah.
That's what's happened.
Yeah.
These things would happen in small groups in pubs.
Yeah.
Like that, there's always a guy in a pub. You've worked in plenty, and I've worked in a couple that stood at the end of the bar whinging about something.
Yeah.
Now, fortunately, that was most of the time just in a controlled environment of who was brave enough to go and buy a pint near that man. Now that fella's got a Twitter account,
yeah,
and he's stood at the end of the bar still, probably.
And a hashtag.
and a hashtag, and that's it. And you know, and that's the difference, yeah. Is we see and hear everything from everybody all the time at any point of the day. This thing's been going on. Hatred and love have existed since the dawn of fucking time. Look at the religions, yeah. That's what started. It's just two guys, some people had some ideas, yeah. And then that's what we're at now. That's why we're still fighting wars, Paul, yeah. Nothing's changed,
yeah.
It's just that we notice it more now,
yeah. We've all got everyone sat in their own little corner of their own little world with their own little hashtag, you know, banner to get people behind, to
and
raise
now we can afford planes to fly these things over ground.
Yeah, I know, it's mental, isn't it? genuinely mental. Speaking of indoctrination and people being hated and just, you know, general insanity, Dominic Cummins, Chris, at time of recording, he's not been sacked, he's not been reprimanded. Boris Johnson's still going to bat for him. For those of you outside of the country, you probably will have picked this up on a bit of this via osmosis, but like the chief political advisor to the Prime Minister, who was responsible for drafting the pandemic lockdown rules, or was amongst those responsible, it turns out flouted those rules on several occasions, and then subsequently he's tried to explain this away by saying there's a reason he drove to a beauty spot in Durham on his wife's birthday. It was not because he was just breaking lockdown rules because it was his wife's birthday and fuck the plebs. It was because he was unsure about his health due to coronavirus, and he wanted to test his eyesight before committing to driving all the way back down to London.
Yeah, okay.
Because the more I hear this, like me and my wife playing Scrabble again last night. You'd be happy to know, 3-1 up in games. I am.
You didn't tell me about the one last though, Paul.
Oh no,
I feel like you're going to keep this.
She battered me. Okay. Absolutely wiped the floor with me.
Are we going to talk about that as much as we talked about your win last week?
Absolutely not. No,
okay. Sorry, Charlie. I tried, darling.
Sounds
great. I tried.
But we had the radio on. Can I highly recommend, by the way, Gold as a radio station during troubled times. Nothing but great songs on that radio station. Real uplifting. Anyway, they've got the news breaks in it, as all radio stations have. And so over a period of a couple of hours, you've got two or three news breaks in that. And every time I heard a sensible newsreader with a sensible newsreader voice trying to say the explanation, I just found myself laughing. Like, how can the level of contempt that those fucking ivory tower gobshites in the government and the people they surround themselves with treat us, the common people, with is astounding. That they're gonna get away with it, Chris. They're just, you know, the media are trying their best, and I don't normally have a lot of love for, you know, for the mainstream media, because I think they've been terrible in recent years, but even they seem to be finally affronted by something. But like, the fact that they think that people are going to swallow that horse shit is, it's dead. The world, the politics is fucked. The world's got to be fucked, because if we're going to let them get away with that, you can get away with anything.
Yeah. I don't really know where to start with this topic, to be honest, Paul, because I was absolutely seething on over the weekend because of this stuff, to be honest. I mean, you know, I think about...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
People who are nearest and dearest to me, and obviously it's my family, and I was thinking about you and your family and stuff, Paul, and you know, you got coronavirus,
yeah,
and you've got two kids and you've got a wife who's a key worker, and I didn't see you go fucking running anywhere, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because you're a responsible adult who understands that you've got to, at times you've got to do what's right for the community and the people around you, whether yeah. that be your family or just the people yeah. of the who inhabit the same bloody country as you. And these fucking absolute beanie-headed blurts who walk around and don't care about absolutely anybody are just barefaced lying to us. Did you see the other toss piece? Name some of the biggest knobheads.
Gove.
Yeah,
it's Gove on LBC. Yeah.
Did you see him try and suggest that he too had gone for a drive?
He couldn't even say the words, Chris. He were like, in the words, have you ever tested your eyesight by going for a drive? It's a rhetorical question, Michael Gove. He's laughing while he's saying it to you because nobody's ever tested their eyesight by going for a 30-mile fucking drive with their wife and child in the car if they felt it was going to be an issue. You fucking plum. And he goes to say it, doesn't he? He goes to say, well, I the instance my wife and I, and he can't. This is Michael Gove, who just spouts nonsense and bullshit for a fucking living. He's a bell, and even he, Chris, he would say anything to keep his political career going, and he could not bring himself to commit the words out loud.
No, well, that was unfortunate, because had the presenter not stuck his oar back in, he would have.
Yeah.
Like, he was trying to find a way, and the presenter, he just needed to be quiet for a heartbeat more, and we'd have got a 45-second clip of him telling us that once he did go on a bike ride but ended up falling over a rabbit or something like that. You know, I mean, we were so close to him walking himself out of his own job there with one sentence, but unfortunately we didn't get to see it. I mean, let's go back to what actually happened. You know, first of all, Paul, as a father of two children, how far do you think you've managed to get without stopping for a toilet break in the car
with a child? I mean, we're talking, it's a young kid he's got as well, isn't it? I guess I actually don't know this, but
yeah, it is.
Yeah, so I mean, you're talking, I couldn't drive to Durham without, we couldn't drive to Durham without a stop from Liverpool. So there's not a chance. There is not a chance. I mean, if I drive down to Leicester's, like 2 hours away, and we do that journey fairly often, and we have to stop at least once, and that's in a 2 hour journey, complete and utter nonsense. But you can tell, you know, when you lie, and you just create details around lies to make it seem more plausible, but in doing so, you just making it blindingly obvious that you're making a story up. It's mad.
So why has he been safe, Paul?
So I saw a great tweet, actually. I think it was from Gabriel Marcotti, maybe, or one of the Italian football writers.
It might be Fabrizio Romano.
Might have been one of them guys. And he said, and like, I don't want to put this idea out. You know, I'm not saying this is it, but he said, like, coming from Sicily, you know, there's a reason why it has a mafia feel to it. Is that there's guys who would be taken out, but they can't be taken out because they know too much, they're too well connected, and that's the only fathomable situation. Because like there's people who've got in more trouble for less than that, Chris, for far less than that, you know. And there's been, football has been dragged through the court of opinion, public opinion and all that for doing far less than that. And these footballers are just ultimately normal human beings, albeit, well, you know, very very healthy ones with high sex drives, who, you know, they weren't responsible for telling us what we can and can't do. It's insane. Like,
okay. Go on.
No, go on, mate.
So let's talk about some possible reasons. Have you heard any conspiracy theories on this stuff?
The biggest one is his connections to Russia.
Okay. And I've not heard that one, but I'm willing to listen.
So, I mean, The Guardian did a catch-up article today for anyone who wasn't up to date with who Dominic Cummins is and what he's done. And it, look, if they'd just written it a little cleaner, I would recommend it to people of all political persuasions. But it just uses slightly too inflammatory language in how they describe people on the conservative side of things. That if I was a deeply entrenched conservative, I would probably be affronted by it just on principle. But obviously,
I think we've probably got rid of a lot of them by this point now. What are we, episode 14 or something?
Every now and again, it's like,
I can't imagine there's many Tories still standing watching this.
Good on you. Listen, it's fine. You should always listen to other opinions.
No,
100%. You should always take in opinions from both sides. You don't want to close the bubble off. I find it interesting to have reasoned discussions with people who politically lean a bit further over. But the further over you start to lean, you lean into radicalism, and then. You can learn as much from afar about those people as you can from up close. But he obviously, the way that he came around, he had some years in Russia, basically, and obviously Russia's there's some links with how the Brexit campaign was managed and what have you, and obviously you got the Cambridge Analytica stuff and all that kind of thing. There's more than a whiff of Russian interference in it all, but at this point it all sounds like a mental lunatics conspiracy theory. So, you know,
indulge me in mine, will you? And this isn't mine, this is a guy called Craig Murray, if you've heard of him. He does a blog. He was a political editor at some point. I think he's worked for the government. I think he might have been a British ambassador at some point. Who has given us just a few things that he's noticed, maybe. So he's not suggesting that this is the conspiracy theory. He's saying these are things that have happened. I'll let you join the dots. So Dominic Cummins, 12th of April, was up in Castle Bernard, wasn't he, during the lockdown. 2 days later, GlaxoSmithKline, one of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in the entire world, signed an agreement to develop and manufacture a COVID-19 vaccine. They are based in Castle Bernard, about 10 minutes away from where Dominic Cummins was spotted, which I think is quite interesting. Mm-hmm. They've been working 24/7, obviously, during this pandemic as well. Just kind of interesting that the day that Cummins goes back to work, he suggested the deal was signed for GlaxoSmithKline to produce a COVID-19 vaccine. Really interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a reason that the government didn't just come out and say, yes, he was there, because he was there. Yeah. But maybe if you're trying to cover up something, you wouldn't want people to know he was up there by there. This is a company as well, who are not, let's say, all above board. I think they've had £3 billion worth of fines in the US for fraudulent activities. They've had £37.9 million, I think it was, of a fine from the UK government for bribing other companies to not use their products once their patent had ended. And there's multiple examples of this all over the world. These are a shady bastard pharmaceutical company. Just the type, I might add, that I would expect maybe a government like ours to get into bed with. And the reason that I think, Paul, that the newspapers are starting to turn right is because you remember how I said a couple of weeks ago that I believe the greatest trick that, and maybe I didn't say this to you, actually I was talking to somebody else, maybe I believe the greatest trick the Tories have ever pulled is to make anybody on £30,000 a year or £25,000 a year believe that they're the elite.
Yeah,
right. And I think that that's happened to the newspapers.
Yeah,
and the newspaper owners, I believe now they've realised they're not the elite anymore, and there's always someone above you.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what it is. Their sway and their influence has kind of waned with the party themselves. Well, and that's why they're shooting out now. So I'm just saying, listen, Dominic Cummins may have decided the best thing for him and his family to do was to drive a 60-mile round trip to test his eyesight. I've no idea why he didn't just open his eyes and maybe look 20 metres in front of him like you would do.
Can you read that license plate like you do when you're testing for your driving license? Can you read that driving license over the road? Yeah. Yes. Okay, there you go. Tick.
Maybe Dominic Cummings is like me, Paul. Maybe he doesn't bring his A game when it's not all on the line.
Are you suggesting
what I mean? When it's a pre-season friendly, yeah. You know what I mean? I'm not there, but put me in a real game situation, Paul, and I'll give you 110%.
He's the Dennis Rodman of the Conservative sisters. Like, yeah, you just let me fuck around. Let me do whatever I want to do. Let me go around. Let me go to castles and let me be me. Let me do me. But when it comes to the crunch time, I'll bring the game. Absolutely, yeah. Did you see the other thing on this? Actually, that it was proven that he went back and edited a blog post from a year ago. Because he claimed in the blog, I warned everyone about the dangers of a pandemic, and they've gone back on his webpage and added this in so that when you look at it now, it looks like he did, but he never did. I mean, fuck me, like. And off the back of this, the Mirror's reporting on this, can you just say, like, I'm not a big fan of any newspaper. I don't read the newspapers particularly. And if I do, it's largely for the sport. Because I think they've all got their own agendas in one way or the other. But the way that the Mirror, and in fact it was a joint operation with the Guardian Observer, wasn't it, to unveil this story, and they did it in two parts. They went, here you go, here's the first bit, he's been caught breaking lockdown, and then they waited for the government to come out and deny it, let them get all the words out, yeah, and then went, oh, by the way, he also did this as well. Like, that should be, the way they've done that should be enough to bring it all down, and that's the scary world we're in right now, is we're now going to see, because it's going to be in the news for a few more days at least, because the media have got a dog with a bone. I mean, for God's sake, Chris, I'm sure the Mail and the Mirror agreeing on something is a sign of the impending apocalypse. Like, you know, that's up there with, like, rivers turning to blood and plagues of locusts, as far as, you know, the end of days happening. But the problem is, of course, we're already seeing it. Is there's people now, the flip side response to this that comes up to meet it is harassment. Oh, poor Dominic Cummings being harassed. And let's come on, like, he's not done anything really. Are we not pushing it too far and blah, blah, blah? And then the other one is, should we not be focusing on positive stories? I mean, fucking,
really?
Who's that fucking, oh, Tony Bell, you la. Like, sometimes I think he's all right, and other times I think he's a massive beaut. And, like, him coming out and fucking, you know, going, oh, come on, let's not make a, we should be making a big deal out of all this and all that. Oh, get in the bin. Because this is how they get away with it. It's because we get bored of the big topics and we just trust that it's all going to get sorted out because we can't be asked to raise ourselves to handle them anymore. Dangerous, dangerous stuff.
I think when the film's made, it's going to be Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones playing the two main characters, because that was a classic trap that the Mirror and the Guardian pulled. But the other one is Jonathan Bartley tweeted not that long ago. Who's the head of the Green Party, I think, is Bartley, is he? Is he the head of the Green Party? I think he's the head of the Green Party, maybe. Who wrote to the Cabinet Secretary because he reckons Dominic Cummings is in breach of a special advisor's code of conduct to the government now. I'm just going to read, if you permit me, just a little bit of what he said here. I'm writing to inform you, Mike, in your capacity both as head of civil service and cabinet secretary, following the press conference given yesterday by special advisor Dominic Cummings. This appears to be a clear breach of the special advisor's code of conduct, which states special advisors must not take public part in political controversy through any form of statement, whether in speeches or letters to the press or in books, social media articles or leaflets. They must observe discretion and express comment with moderation, avoiding personal attacks, would not normally speak in public for their minister or department. He also goes on to talk about how it was the other part of it, why it wasn't allowed, is because they did it on Downing Street Garden. Yeah. And as a civil servant, you can't have a taxpayer paying for that type of stuff, so he wants assurances that no civil servant had to work in that and it was not at our expense, basically. So they've broken the rules twice there. Boris Johnson started coming out lying about what Cummings is. Cummings has got fucking photos on his hard drive, I tell you, of Johnson and Gove and all of them with the cock in the same pig. That's what it comes down to here. And Cummings will take the whole government down. He ain't going anywhere, and he's probably the most dangerous person in the government because of that.
Yeah.
And we need to run him out. We need to not get bored of this big argument.
Well, this is the point, isn't it? Is that he's not a publicly elected official. So he doesn't, you know, everyone in the government works for us, and everyone needs to remember that. Like, so when people talk about these instances of, like, we need to hold government to task, at any given time. It doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter that they've just got in the general election. That's irrelevant. They've got to be held accountable. That because that's the role of the public in this regard. These people, we trust those people, whether we voted for them or not. They are being entrusted with our welfare and our well-being and the well-being of the country moving forward. Now, of course, that might sound hysterical, given the absolute shit show that this country's been since the Brexit referendum. But it doesn't remain less true. The biggest scary thing about this, Chris, is I think we're on the verge of politicians, and it goes back to this entrenched opinions, when something goes from being banter to being fact, is that we've lost trust in politicians, and that's been building for a number of years. It goes back to you got the expenses scandal and you did the war in Iraq and all that kind of stuff. But if they're also being non-trustworthy and idiot buffoons as well, then there's going to be a generation of people who accept that that's what politicians are. They are liars. They are buffoons. They play up for the camera. They play dumb. They do all this stuff. And all of a sudden, we'll have a new class of politician. This is how Trump ends up in power in the States. He is just, once they let Ronald Reagan in, he is what happens once you set the precedent in that kind of stuff. And there's a world that it exists in the future if we don't get a grip on stuff, where it's people just go, oh, whatever, that's what politicians do. Politicians break the rules, they make shit up and they lie about it. But that's what politicians do. Come on, don't worry about it. Let's go and look at this shiny thing over here instead. And that's a very, very worrying situation that we're kind of entering into. And on that one more, I think Piers Morgan is positioning himself to take a run at some form of political office in the future.
Oh, fucking hell.
Calling it now. Because he's, we always say it, we've said it on the Discord group, he goes where he can create the most buzz and vibe around himself. He plays both sides against the middle. Yeah.
There's a dangerous man. Anybody who's willing to blow with the wind, I always think, is more dangerous than someone whose viewpoint you know.
Yeah.
And whose agenda you know.
Yeah.
Because at least when it's someone on the other side, or you know what they're aiming and they're striving towards. Whereas someone like a Piers Morgan, I think, is maybe worse than a lot of them.
Mm.
Now, I agree with a lot of his viewpoints over the last few weeks and stuff, but it's only for his own gain.
Yeah.
That's what he's about. It's personal gain, nothing more, nothing less. And he will trod on people to get where he is. And I'd not considered that at all, Paul. I fully agree with you. I think he is. I think he probably sees a world where he can get some kind of office and job for life.
Yeah.
And that scares me.
Yeah.
Because at least I know with Johnson what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I know. And it's mad. It's a proper weird situation. But yeah, it's strange, isn't it? Because you're right. It's how, when a big situation happens, you get a war, who's able to engineer the narrative so that they come out on top? And, you know, and Piers Morgan is playing that game spectacularly well. And that's why he's different, because I think in some respects, you see the likes of Katie Hopkins, who's just a vile, vile human being in every way, shape or form, but she's hooked. She's not clever enough, and I think she's gone too deep, to be fair, but she hooked into this thing.
Works for Trump now anyway, don't she?
Well, maybe, but you know, but the point is, like, Tommy Robinson did the same thing, and you've got that young kid now who they're throwing forward on ITV. I can't remember his name, but he's like the conservative Tory boy, and he comes out in defense of all these, you know, he's like a conservative political activist almost at this point. You've got these where she's an example of this is, she's hooked onto it and it's helped beef her up, because there's tons of people who think that way. She got on the Leave, she's gotten on the racism side, she's gotten on the right wing agenda, and it's made her super popular amongst people who think that way. Whereas Piers Morgan is just literally just hopping between lily pads, because because he can play off the card of, I'm a political commentator effectively, I'm a neutral party. And he'll just follow the same pattern that's been set, like Farage is set, like Trump is set, like Johnson set. You just, if anyone ever tries to corner you over your opinion, you just deny it anyway. But he gets to be the big winner. He gets to be the guy who's this sort of shining knight of journalism in this country. He's like a Hollywood Paxman, you know, like just getting to challenge people so people think he's on their side, but he's not. Piers Morgan is on Piers Morgan's side, and I'm sure that will come out in the fullness of time, or he'll end up as supreme overlord of the country at some point in the not too distant future. Belter. Any more you want to add to this, Chris, before we move on?
Just that I think the whole fucking system's wrong anyway, to be honest with you. I don't want to be a part of fucking England's government or politics in any way, shape or form. And I don't really understand how any of it was supposed to work, if I'm honest. You know, I would consider myself someone who reads a lot on politics and probably has done for the last sort of certainly 10 years. And a lot on American politics randomly, because I used to like the television drama of it all. Oh, ho, 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 ho. It's not as funny when it's as close to home, though. But one of the things I've never really understood, right, and maybe people will think I'm stupid for this or whatever, is how the hell can you be a Labour fucking city in a Tory fucking government? Like, do you know what I mean? How does that work?
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah. It's just like, right, okay, we're on completely different sides, and yet I have to listen to you, and I have to do what you say. How bloody stupid is that?
Yeah, no, it's mad, isn't it? It's like, I mean, again, it's not quite like this, because there's rules and regulations supposedly in place for all these kind of things, like, but it'd be like, if I had three kids, and two of them supported Liverpool, and one of them supported Everton, I'd love them all equally, because you love your kids equally, but the Evertonian one would get worse treatment, because they wouldn't get the shirts. I wouldn't be taking them to Everton football games. I wouldn't be doing this kind of thing. I would buy, you know, they'd still have the same amount of food on the table. They'd still have all these things, but I wouldn't have the same relationship with them. And I know that's a really, really playful analogy for something that's a very serious thing.
You also said they'd have the same amount of food on the table, which I'm not sure is true in government terms.
But again, you know, this is, yeah, no, you're right, actually. I always thought that's a bit of a, it is a bit of a weird scenario. People understand how they do that. And that's probably why Liverpool has struggled, you know, and why Liverpool needs
it. It's a stronghold of Labour as well.
Exactly.
It's a stronghold of Labour. So
now, no point.
I always thought when he got in December and stuff, Johnson, and he turned those mining towns up at like Sunderland and stuff like that, I'm like, shit, they're going to get everything they want from him in this government now, because they've got an opportunity to say, no, here's your money. This is what we've done for you.
Yeah.
And turn that what was a stronghold into a Conservative stronghold.
Yeah. Well, that's why Liverpool was so pro-Remain, is because the evidence of EU investment in the city of Liverpool was tangible. It's there for you to see. The plaques are all over the place, you know, from being the capital of culture and all that kind of stuff. All like, you know, every time there's a crane or a building put up, and you can see, funded by EU money, there's the blue flag and the gold stars, and you know where the money's being spent. But there's areas of the country now will probably have that, you know, have that positive feeling towards that kind of government, because that's what you do, isn't it? If you want to win people over, you shower them with gifts, and you trust that they remember the good stuff. More recency bias, they remember the good stuff and not the bad stuff, because they've got the shiny new thing to show for it. And listen, I'm sure people who are Brexiters or whatever probably could use that argument to us about the EU, because we've been, you know, that's exactly the same arguments theoretically. But it's a very, very, very weird one. Yes, thoughts on those kind of things, if you want, in the comments below. We're happy to have a discussion with you guys. We do love having a bit of a chat and what have you. Should we purge and then do the grown-ups, do the not grown-up till?
Yeah, okay, well, you purge first today then, mate.
I am purging. We had a conversation about this week. We're in this world now where basically the gene is dead. Nobody wears jeans anymore, because why would you put yourself through jeans when you don't need to? So everyone's now in trackies and shorts. But the problem with trackies and shorts is tracky pockets and short pockets. Now, we should, and not necessarily purging them per se, because look, a tracky pocket with a nice zip can solve a multitude of problems. But nobody ever complains about things falling out of jeans pockets. You know, I don't leave my phone on the seat of my car when I'm wearing jeans. It doesn't magically just slip out like a thief in the night. And the same with keys, and the same with wallets and all this kind of stuff. Jeans are getting a bad rap at the moment because they are much more uncomfortable than wearing trackies and shorts. But they do a solid service for you. Good, solid, well-contained pockets. And so short in particular, I very rarely have ever smashed phone screens. I think I've only ever broken one phone screen ever, and that came about from shorts. when it fell out of my pocket when I went to go to the toilet and it smashed on the tile floor in there. So yeah, pockets that don't hold your phone and keys in them, and they're not pockets. What I don't, they need a different name.
Slides. That's actually what they are, yeah, to a phone when you put shorts on.
Yeah,
they're just a giant slide.
Yeah, whee!
Slippy, like slidey material, and it's going to pick up speed. That's all, yeah, they are, mate.
Yeah.
So, jean shorts, Paul?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to have to wear jean shorts, aren't I? Yeah. Should I go for the jean shorts?
Please go for the stone wash ones as well, mate.
Oh, yeah, acid wash. Yeah, I'll you know what I'll do as well, Chris? Because obviously it's harder to get out and choose. I'll just cut off the legs off a pair of existing jeans. How's that sound?
Brilliantly. Absolutely. Please do it. I think you look swell.
I once did that with a pair of I think it was jeans or cords, I think, once when we were in our metal days, and I didn't wear them for too much longer after that because it was a bad idea. Making your own shorts out of jeans, you can only get away with that when you're a bed. If you're a boy, not so much, unless you are like a super Instagram style, you know, and you're young. No one in their mid to late 30s and above should be making their own shorts out of jeans. You're either need to be in your 60s or in your teens and some sort of influencer.
I've probably met one person who could get away with that.
Okay.
And it's your Pro Evo buddy for life.
Oh, Karius.
Yeah, I think he could pull it off.
Well, exactly, yeah, there you go. He's got that, you know, you can pretend you're a trendsetter and not just a fucking idiot. Not just the fuck. I mean, which he might well be, but you know, we couldn't get away. We couldn't get away with that. I reckon I could pull off a jort, if I really wanted to. But it'd have to be tailor made. No, I'm just gonna wear combat shorts, Chris, with the buttons. That's what I've not been doing.
I've got them with a zip.
Footy shorts.
Got them with a zip instead of the buttons, mate. That's what I'm wearing right now. They're fantastic.
Velcro trainees next.
It's what?
Velcro trainees next.
My genius idea.
Yeah, no,
genius.
Absolutely. I'll slide genius into comfort.
Oh, lovely. Absolutely lovely. I think I'm going to, if you're done,
yep,
I think I'm going to purge the soles of my feet, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Now, this is going back quite a few years, to be honest, that I've got very delicate soles of my feet, and I'd really like them to be a little bit tougher. You know, just sort of man up a little bit, if I'm still allowed to say that type of a phrase. I think you're nodding along like you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I think everybody watching at home probably does as well, don't they? I think everybody knows that the soles of our feet are pathetic. Now, if you see, like, my feet are fantastic. And I'm not going to... people are really funny about feet, but it's probably my best feature. Certainly the top, as you look at them, the classic cut of my foot is there. It's perfectly aligned. I've not got one of these toes randomly. The second toe's not bigger than my toe, my big toe.
You could be a foot model is what you're driving at.
Listen, my wife will tell you it's my best feature if you look at it from top down. And she doesn't like to because she disagrees. But so she won't tell you. But I think we all know that, I think everybody now knows that you don't brag about how good your feet are unless your feet are really fucking good. And they are. They're really fucking good. But the bottom aren't quite up to scratch. They've not quite got that level of maybe lushness to them, but maybe that's the problem. Maybe they are a little bit too lush. Regardless, they're very, very soft, Paul. And I realised when I was on my... not stag do, the other one, honeymoon, when we were in Africa, that I'm pretty pathetic, to be honest with you, because, you know, we went to Africa and stuff, and we did a lot of things that involved us not wearing shoes. Like, we went, like, whitewater rafting on the Nile one time, and these black guys who were fucking from around there were just, like, launching themselves over the ground and the rocks, and, like, I was like, at the back of the queue as I'm coming out of the water and stuff, like, pathetic, truly pathetic. Like, I'm that guy on the who walks across a pebble beach screaming like a pathetic little child. So I really just want to take my socks off when I wear a pair of trainees, Paul.
Okay,
that's where it kind of comes down to.
And you can't.
Well, they're sweaty as well. My feet are sweaty.
Okay, so.
But I think if you look at the, like, they sort of get a bit red here, you know what I mean? And, you know, I need to just pull that little sock up a little touch, you know what I mean? So, yeah. Really, I don't know whether that's the sole of my feet that I'm purging here or not. But yeah, I definitely feel like these just need to tougher, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Tougher feet. Yeah.
Tougher feet, I think. Yeah. I think everybody, I think it's a guaranteed purge that everyone will go with me there.
Mine aren't too bad, but again, there's people who are better with these things. You're right. Pebble beaches are just, that's a form of torture, that, as far as I'm concerned. You're then taking your flip flops down to the waterfront, and then you're dealing with a whirlwind. What if the water's coming in? How far away do you, if you're going to be in the water for more than like 20 minutes, you've got to set them a ways back. Otherwise, them bad boys are gone.
No need. You don't want to be thinking all that when you're half cut getting into the pool, do you?
Tougher feet. That's all I'm saying. Brilliant. Okay, yeah, fine. I mean, at this point, I'm not sure how many body parts you've got left to purge.
Oh, I've got plenty, mate.
And that was one of your best features. You've just purged the part of your best feature.
I know.
So, last week we introduced the concept of you're not a proper grown-up until ... We put the tweet out at Matex page if you want to see these things. We've had some boss people come back with them. Chris, of course, said it was until your electrical screwdrivers don't come out of a Christmas cracker, which I'm not sure anyone's going to better, but let's see. James from that 90s wrestling podcast says you're not a proper grown up until you start putting together your kids' bunk beds at 6 p.m. and not completing until 4 a.m. You got bunk beds?
Yeah,
that work.
Yeah. Oh yeah, really, really tough. Now I am a proper grown up, so I didn't start at 6 p.m. fucking 8 a.m.
I'm
not going to get into a position where I can't put them to bed. I'm not going to start putting a fucking bunk bed together an hour and a half before they're due in it. Yeah. That's just stupid.
One of them is that if you get a new barbecue, then you make sure that barbecue is built before you intend to use said barbecue. Because if you're buying a barbecue and it needs some construction, you are not cooking your barbecue food anywhere near to the time that anyone needs that barbecue food to be
cooked. Have you ever put a gas barbecue together?
No.
Yeah, doubly so if you're putting a gas barbecue together, because tough.
Harshal B says you're not proper grown up until one, you check the weather forecast and carry an umbrella if rain is predicted. Nice. You have more food than beer in your fridge. True. And you refuse to have sex in a twin size bed. Wow. Okay. It's a pretty small bed. I don't think you're a proper adult if you're refusing sex, if I'm honest, because you should get it where you can.
You never know when the next route's around the corner, Harshal. That one's a definite no. What was the other one?
You have more food than beer in your fridge.
But what if you keep your beer somewhere else?
Still on your premises. Like, wherever you store these things. There was days back in the day as young bachelors where your fridge would just be where you kept your alcohol and little else. You might have some butter in there and maybe, a condiment of some description, but, like, you know.
Boiled egg.
Yeah, why not? Okay. Football Index Guru says, you know you're an adult when your eyes are so bad it takes an hour round trip and a castle to see if they're bad. Yep. Right, yeah. Paul James says, you're not a proper adult until you start moaning about how young people are. Yeah, 100%.
Can we make an addendum to that one? Yeah. You're not a proper adult until you've said the words, they look like students. Did we look that young when we were students? I mean, that is kind of it. Like, you say that in any Wetherspoons in the city centre at least 10 times during an evening out, if you stay there long enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeannie and Tonic, you're not a grown-up until someone calls you Sir. First time I got called Sir, I was in a shopping queue and someone said Sir and then repeated themselves three more times until I realised I am in fact, above 18 and a Sir. Yeah, it's really good. It's when parents are out with the kids and they describe you as the man. Yeah. Watch out for the man or watch out for the lady. It's like, particularly as a girl, when you cross over from being like, watch out for the girl to watch out for the lady or the woman, I reckon that's probably a heartbreaker.
Yeah, you're just tightening that bra at the back there, aren't you, in that situation? Right, let's get them up a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Let's see where we go. It's the gentleman's the one that I get most often rather than a sir.
The gentleman?
Will you just go and replace this bag of potatoes for the gentleman? I'm like, I can fucking go myself. I'll be quicker than you, love.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I don't want to stand there for 10 minutes. Like, it's fine. You think I'm being nice. I'm just fucking impatient and I can see you and you're going to go dead fucking slow.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go myself. Thank you.
Absolutely. That is a brilliant one. FTBL Michael, you're not a grown-up until getting an early night. It's a treat, not a punishment.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Absolutely.
You're not a dad until I think that is as well.
Absolutely. Joe Shaw says, you're not, you know you're an adult when your parents stop looking after your passport. That's a decent one. Or you're not on your mum and dad's passport is probably a good start. And let's see. Oh, yeah, here we go. Mark Blackford, you're not a proper grown-up until you suffer three-day hangovers after a bender. When you're 18 to 25, they aren't a thing. When you're a proper adult, you suffer intensely. You do.
Yeah, that is... There's no truer word on this podcast been spoken since we started this podcast.
Shit, innit? Absolutely shit. Okay, right, well, we're going to wrap that up there. Thank you so much for sending your suggestions in. If there's any others you want to do, if we get a few more in, we'll do another one next week in the comments underneath on YouTube. And also you can tweet us at MateXPayJack as well. Do sign up to our Patreon. As you've seen earlier on in the show, we have got our first ever live Patreon exclusive Q&A. We're all going to get in a big Discord group together and shoot the breeze live. Just basically chill, hang out. You can have a bit of less of a Q&A, not like you send those questions and we add rope do those back. We're just gonna have a big chat and we can answer some
think
questions
of it like a big fucking Zoom call with us. That's what we're doing, essentially.
Absolutely.
And I can't wait for it. So did we do the people who signed up last week? Did we say their names?
We did not.
I would definitely remember saying Jason Bourne's name on this.
We said it before the podcast and forgot to say it on the podcast. So thanks very much, Jason Bourne, for signing up.
Thank you, Stephen Ryder, as well, for signing up, and Ben Bartlett. And I think that's all we needed to do.
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, the names of our absolute legend Patreon tiers are coming up at the end of the podcast. I will move the little video out of the way so that it doesn't obscure them. But yeah, thanks so much, guys. Obviously, our little community we've got going on. If you want more from us, you've got my YouTube channel, which is Mates TV. Chris has got a Chris Pajak YouTube channel. We've both got Twitch channels now at the moment as well. Mine is Mates Gaming. His is Mr. Blood Red. So get on there. I'm doing a PES series. Chris is doing a Football Manager series. And of course, the Red Men TV as well for the best of the best Football Manager series. But yeah, thank you very much, guys. Hope you're enjoying the podcast, whether it's vision or listening. I need to just wrap this up and just spot shite now.
Once.
What? Twice?
Once.
No. We'll do that next week.
Once.
The pun.
A time.
Lived. Man.
Who?
Road.
A.
Horse.
Through.
Fields.
Of.
Gold.
He.
Stood.
Naked.
Atop.
A.
Hillock.
Whilst.
Gloriously
holding
his
penis.
Eventually,
he
climaxed
over
the
toadstool,
which
died
instantly. The end. check back for more next week. We love you guys so very, very much. More MXP coming your way next Friday at 5. The Patreon exclusive thing is going to be on Monday evening, so get signed up for that. And we'll give you more details on our Patreon, and we'll see you there. Nice one.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.